This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? It's Bowie here with another House of the Dragon TV Talk. Look, this is going to be a shorter one than normal. I know they're already, you know, they're minis, so they're normally pretty short. But I'm about to leave town, for one thing. And the other thing is, I'm trying to figure out exactly how to do this in a way that keeps the conversation work safe. Because we're talking today about this particular episode of House of the Dragon. There's a lot of talk going on around what's going on between Rhaenyra and her uncle Daemon. While in the meantime, she's trying to get married off to her cousin. To her cousin. Who would become her husband. So her husband, sure, that makes sense. Targaryens, you know, these Targaryens, they do things. It's Targaryens, man. You know, you got to, anyway. Ultimately, as we see, this is all just a big play, right? Because we know that Daemon is trying to get the throne, and he sees that by marrying his niece, that is going to give him a direct path. And by kind of creating this scenario in which, you know, she gets a bit of a reputation, especially within the kingdom and within her father, then he would seem as though the only path forward is to name his brother, the successor, or at the very least to marry them off. Regardless, though, it doesn't really work because obvious it doesn't work. One thing that does work very early on is when he comes back from the Sand Steps, and we see that, yes, he was named king of the Eastern Sea or whatever it was. He says, you know what? I don't even recognize a king. You're my king. Here's the crown. Here's the thing to add to the chair. And we cool. And so he's like, you could see the way in which he was kind of setting his brother up, then pulling this thing with Rhaenyra, and then kind of coming back thinking that he was going to be able to, make a solid play for the throne. And it fails hard. Rhaenyra, we see as she, you know, every single episode, we see her kind of constantly frustrated with her lot in life, that she is going to end up in this existence where she's going to be just responsible for just making heir after heir after heir. And it's only when she finally comes to her friend and complains about this, that it hits her that, though, this is her actual, like, her friend's actual existence. She literally is imprisoned in this tower and exists for the sole purpose of having these heirs. She doesn't even have access to the kind of power that Rhaenyra has, because if anything happens to the king, she doesn't even get to remain queen. Because at that point, she loses power and Rhaenyra gets power. So, like, you know, this kind of the, oh, woe is me, I'm a princess and I can't do what I want thing that Rhaenyra's been kind of going on, the Disney princess thing, kind of comes to a head at a very critical moment as she realizes just how tone deaf that complaint has been, especially on her friend's ear, who admittedly she's been frustrated with because of the whole thing with her dad. Anyway, point is, they're back together at being some kind of friendly, familiar relationship, and that's nice to see. We do see her stepping up and recognizing that, you know what, if I need to marry the son of the sea snake, let's do it. That makes sense. He's my cousin. He'll become my husband, which is a word that we just invented in this mini. And it's great. He rides dragons. I ride dragons. We all ride dragons. It's going to be fine. Like, it's not like it's going to be a civil war or anything, right? No Targaryen civil war, because that's not what the show is about. Oh, wait. Yeah, that probably is. I actually was trying to remember this morning who the sides are in terms of where we're going with this internal struggle. And I actually love that I can't remember. I know eventually who's going to end up with who and who's going to have children and whose children will go on to have the children that we know in the, you know, distant future from this point. But in terms of like where the battle lines are or what the kind of political intrigue is between all these houses, I don't recall. And I am doing my best to not really dive into that because I'm finding it far more interesting going into this, not really knowing anything. Even with Game of Thrones, when I read that book the first time, I almost instantly knew exactly what was going to happen. Not because I was familiar with the show, or even because I was that familiar with the series, but because I was familiar enough with history to see that this is basically just the War of the Roses, but with magic and dragons and such. And so, like, I was like, oh, okay, the Starks, aka the Yorks, are not exactly going to fare well here. Oh, Eddard, is it? So, like, Edward? Yeah, that guy's not... It's not going to go well for him. Anyway, so here, I'm sure this is all based off of history as well, but fortunately, it's not an era of history I know enough about to figure out where it's going. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it all heads. Well, we do also see that, you know, this power dynamic at play with Rhaegara and her guard, where obviously she's the princess and his boss, and she calls him in and he's like, I don't really know how I feel about this. And she's kind of drunk. She feels a little jilted and kind of cast off by her uncle. And so she kind of got all revved up and nowhere to go, right? A lot of gas in the tank. And I don't know, y'all. I'm trying to keep this work safe. Point is, she kind of calls him in. This is a really awkward type situation because obviously these two have a lot of chemistry, but the power dynamics are at play here. Like, he can't really refuse her and at the same time doesn't want to. You know, the best case scenario in many respects is he loses his job. The worst case is that he gets found out by the king or somebody else and they, you know, he loses his head. So it's a rough situation where we're putting this kind of guard who's been her friend throughout this the course of the series over the last few episodes. And obviously they're not going to end up together. I say obvious. Again, I don't really know who ends up with who for what amount of time, but in terms of the running for who is going to be, you know, her husband, it's either going to be her uncle'sband or her husband or her knight'sband. Okay, that's all I got. Look, this is why we're cutting it off here, okay? This is why we're cutting it off here. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Hope y'all are enjoying the series. Let me know your thoughts. You can head over to Twitter at TV Talk FM is the place to do it. You can find all of our contact information and more at tvtalk.fm. And that's going to do it for me. But don't worry, I'll be back in a flash.